When the enemy is dug in deep, the Spartans aren't available, and a conventional insertion is suicide, who do you call?
ODSTs!
When there's no chance of landing a pelican in one piece, how do you enter the fight?
Feet first into hell!
Hoorah! Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and universes of our favorite video games. I'm Connor.
And I'm Jaden.
And we've got a juicy topic for you this time. Today, we are talking about the Orbital Drop Shock Troopers of the Halo franchise, also known as ODSTs. And Jaden, I want to know if I'm alone in thinking this. Is there a harder, more badass group of boys and gals to ever kick some Covenant ass than these guys?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, besides the grunts, but you know my feelings on them. Right.
Of course. Yeah, let's just set that aside. That's a given. The grunts are the superior life form of the galaxy. We've already established that. Listen to our previous episode if you haven't. But okay, second down from the grunts, we've got to give props to the ODSTs.
Absolutely.
These guys, I think they're underrated, honestly. And my, you know, what I wanted to get at on this episode is why they shouldn't be underrated, why they are awesome, and kind of they live in the shadow of the Spartans and Master Chief and these super soldiers that are sort of the face of the Halo games. But if you look behind the shadow of the Giants in their green armor, fancy augmentations and fancy training, you'll see some really salt of the earth, hardworking men and women who strap on their flak armor and they jump into these little metal eggs that get launched out of spaceships and fly through atmosphere and hit the dirt and they come out fighting. That just gets my blood pumping. I don't know about you.
Absolutely. I mean, and plus the thing is, these are honestly some of the more human characters you get to see in the Halo franchise. We were talking about this before we started the episode, but I mean, some of my favorite characters in any medium form are side characters. I mean, heck, my favorite Star Wars character is Wedge Antilles, which 90% of people are like, who is that person? And I'm like, that's the pilot who's in the original series, who's the best.
He's the best pilot. He's the best wing jockey to ever hold a
control. Poe Dameron wishes that he was Wedge Antilles.
Exactly. Yeah, Poe Dameron has a Wedge Antilles poster on his bedroom wall.
Absolutely, he does.
But the Wedge and characters like him, those rebel pilots, I think they have that same strength that the ODSTs have. They're kind of the side characters. They're a little bit off to the side. But if you really look at them, you discover a lot of interesting information about them. They're really worth a second look. So speaking of the ODSTs, let's get into the kind of the background, the history of that branch of the UNSC military. So as we know, before the UNSC that we know and love, you know, was embroiled in the losing war against the Covenant, they had a bit of a period of civil strife to deal with. That was early on, that was called the Interplanetary War, when Earth, Mars, all these different moons across the solar system were kind of at each other's throats. Technology at the time was getting more and more advanced, and that included orbital methods of entry onto a planetary surface.
Yes, the idea of which was you find an enemy position that you can't just bomb to hell from orbit because you need the resource on a planet. Obviously, you know, if you're attacking a planet in the Halo universe, the easiest thing to do with the world is to just fire a nuke at it, wait for the fallout to subside, and you've got the planet. But the problem is, when you're fighting an interplanetary war like this, you're fighting for a planet that you actually want. So therefore, you need to launch an attack force to actually take the planet. And the best way to do that is to soften up your target area by releasing ground forces. And this is actually not something that is new in warfare in any way, shape, or form. Advanced parties are used all the time.
That's right. That's right. We saw an advent of airborne infantry in World War II, in our own timeline, in our own history.
Yes, the 101st.
That's right. The Screaming Eagles, 101st Airborne. The idea of parachute infantry was kind of pioneered at the time because you had these planes. These planes were capable of carrying people. And if it was too costly or complicated to drive your troops across a border or over ground or land them on a boat, just drop them out of the plane. Simple. And so the UNSC during the Interplanetary War and all their different struggles with human forces, other humans, rebels, insurrectionists, they kind of took that paratrooper paradigm.
Only their landings were a lot more explodey.
That's right. They took paratroopers and then put rockets into the equation.
Which is very funny because the original advent of paratroopers were they were supposed to be a stealth unit. They were supposed to launch in relatively undetected and then cause havoc. Whereas with the ODSTs, they're not sneaking through the back door so much as kicking the back door in with both feet.
That's right.
Throwing a flashbang at the same time.
Right. Coming in through the ceiling, crushing you from above and just blowing the hell out of everything, riddling you with bullets. Subtlety is not exactly their game. This isn't a nighttime drop behind enemy lines with silent, stealthy parachutes. Now these are rocket pods coming in from freaking space and smashing your door in.
Launch with silent submachine guns. I always thought that was hilarious.
That was kind of fun.
They already know you're here, guys.
Try making sense of that one. I mean, you can jump in and then infiltrate, but that aside, I think that's where we get the term shock trooper from. You're dropping in from orbit and you're a shock trooper, orbital drop, shock trooper, ODST, bingo, bango. So we see them kind of become the advent of this specialized sort of spec ops arm of the UNSC Marines. So you've got UNSC Marines, tough customers to begin with, but then you give them special training to drop in from outer space and kick the door in and really open the door for your friendlies to come in and finish the job. And you've got the ODSTs, the Hell Jumpers, as they started to be called. And then time passed. First contact was made between humanity and the Covenant. And it wasn't ET, as we all know, unfortunately. It wasn't friendly. and happy-go-lucky. We did not sing Kumbaya. And so the Human Covenant War kicked off. And I think it's safe to say, Jaden, the ODSTs kind of took a tough toll. They took a bit of the brunt of the action in those first few battles, didn't they?
Which is very unsurprising because, you know, they are the opening salvo of any human invasion. And the problem is when humanity's on the back end of the attack, you know, we see this with the German paratroopers during World War II. You know, the Germans had paratroopers. They weren't as well known as, say, the 101st for the American side. And they often just found themselves being used in defensive roles, where instead of being launched into enemy territory, they were being launched into their friendly territory, you know, or even simply not even being launched. They're just being deployed onto a planet because they were the best guys we had at the time. And you have to throw everything you can at this giant juggernaut that is the Covenant. They're just destroying everything. So you put your best guys that you have. Unfortunately, your best guys aren't good enough. They're just getting ground up.
That's right. Yeah, those early battles were real meat grinders, and that was kind of the pattern. That was pretty common for most of the war, at least for those first few years. Humanity's on the back foot. Like you said, they're fighting a lot of defensive engagements, so you just throw the Helljumpers in there, stem the tide. Up until the Spartan 3s were able to come along and join the fight, the Helljumpers, the ODSTs, were, like you said, pretty much the best of the best. They were the premier special forces units that the UNSC had at their disposal. And so, yeah, they suffered heavy casualties, just like most other branches of the UNSC, just like the regular Marines. But I think their efforts kind of culminated in the Battle of Earth when, of course, Halo 3 ODST, the game, comes along. And this was a really special game, I think, in the Halo franchise, because it really, for the first time, put you, as the player, in the boots of an unaugmented human being, just a regular average Joe. Well, maybe above average because you made it through the ODST training. That's no small feat, but you're not a super soldier. You're not a bionic killing machine. You're just a guy.
You're the next best thing. You're Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. If only you could actually play as Buck in that game. Well, I guess was there Horde mode or Firefight mode or something?
No, I believe you play as Buck when you're trying to rescue the Oni captain.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, there is that level you play as Buck. You're right. So, yes, you do play as an almost superhuman human, Nathan Fillion. Play as Captain Malcolm Reynolds himself. And that's pretty good. He's not, I think someone described the character of Ed Buck, Gunnery Sergeant Edward Buck, as if he were any better, he'd be a Spartan. So,
and then he became a Spartan.
And then he became a Spartan IV, and the rest is history. So that can tell you a little bit about the type of quality people that the ODST have. These are just one step below actual superhumans. These are people, human beings trained to their absolute peak of military performance, of martial prowess, of killing potential. They're at the apex. If they were pushed any further, they'd be literal superhumans. They'd be Spartans. Now, it wasn't always friendly, of course, between these two ends of the spectrum, I guess you could say. You've got the Helljumpers, Special Forces Marines, and then you've got the Spartans, children taken from their families, which is covered in another episode of ours you should listen to if you haven't already. And they were trained and augmented and turned into Spartans, but not all other members of the UNSC military took kindly to this sort of new form of soldier, would you say?
Which you got to put it into perspective a little bit too, Connor. If imagine you're the ODST, you know, you're on the ground, you've been fighting this war for 10, 15 years at this point, and all of your buddies are just getting wiped out left and right all around you. And all of a sudden, these new guys show up and your sergeant says, hey, you take orders from that guy now. You know, the Spartans were not a known commodity until very late into the war. So all of a sudden, these new guys show up and they get to be the faces of the Covenant War. That just seems unfair to the average grunt. You know, I'm the one who's been bleeding here for years. You guys just showed up.
Right.
Even though they've been fighting in the background for years at this point.
Right. It's even if, yeah, your ass just gets saved from getting scorched by a plasma rifle by a Spartan, there can be a measure of animosity there. Just like, where the hell have you been? What's so special about you? I mean, me and my buddies have been in the mud here. But that's a quick background of the Helljumpers as we know them. Jaden, you have any final thoughts on that?
I think we've covered that pretty thoroughly. I mean, these guys are, like I said, they would be the best of the best if it weren't for those pesky Spartans. The Spartans, they're just in a league above, and you see that very clearly in the fact that, you know, they Master Chief just tears through hordes of Covenant. But that's not to take anything away from the ODSTs, because they are the best of the best that humanity can train, whereas Spartans are the best that we can build.
It's a fair point. And getting into sort of the second half of our discussions, I want to deal with the unique place and the role that the ODSTs play in the Halo lore. We've kind of gotten into that a little bit. We have the super soldiers who are emblematic of the Halo games, the Spartans, but I believe, this is my argument, that the ODSTs are a really important sort of counterweight to the Spartans. The Spartans wouldn't be as special as they are, as, you know, on as high of a pedestal as they are, if it wasn't for a more grounded and human counterpart to compare them to. You know what I mean?
I would absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, when the ODSTs stand next to the Spartans, you kind of see the best of the best, and then you see the next level. And I really find it interesting how the ODSTs sort of represent a different part of the human fighting spirit.
Absolutely. I think right off the bat, the thing that they really represent, at least to me, is that they represent, ironically enough, the human aspect of humanity. Whereas the Spartans are, you know, they're defenders of humanity, but there's not much humanity left in them, sadly enough. Right. Whereas the ODSTs, excuse me, will sit there and they'll crack jokes. You know, they'll pray, they'll be jerks to each other. Whereas the Spartans are just like, all right, everything here is dead. Moving on. Yes, of course.
Right. Yeah, it's all about the mission to them. Whereas with ODSTs, they're human beings. They have human being concerns. Like you said, they'll bond with each other. They crack jokes. They'll show each other pictures of their family. We look at Edward Buck's relationship with Veronica Dare. That's a complicated entanglement that you wouldn't really see with the Spartans. It's implied that Buck and Dare, they had a romantic relationship of some kind in the past, and when circumstances bring them back together again, they have to put that aside and get the job done, but it's hard for them. They're people, you know, they have feelings. Spartans have no problem whatsoever putting those feelings aside, if they even have them. It's hard to tell if they even have those sort of human emotional responses to stimuli like that. But ODSTs and ONI personnel like Buck and Dare, they have to sort of deal with that a little bit. So I think people complain about some characters in some media, whether it's comics, movies, video games. They sometimes complain about characters being a little too invincible, a little too powerful. They don't have enough weaknesses or kind of detriments or shortcomings that make them really engaging and relatable. And I think the ODSTs, especially the ones we interact with in the games, they sort of make up for that a little bit. They give us a little bit more of that human connection.
To add to your point, one of my favorite moments in the game is the character Dutch, as he's flying over the edge of a cliff, and his warthog crashes, and he gets off and he says, "Lord, please let there be no more flying today." And then the ship explodes. He goes, "Is that a yes or a no?" And while that is a very funny scene, I think it points to the fact that Dutch is extremely vulnerable and he knows it. The thing is with the Spartans is they would never show that sort of vulnerability. He's actually like, he's putting his faith in a higher power and he's showing the human side of him where he's just like, "Oh God, I almost died there. Please let there be no more flying today." And then of course there was, because there's always more flying.
Of course. Yeah. You got to get in the Pelican. You got to get to the Choppa and get in the Pelican for sure. But no, yeah, that like every member of that team, you whether it's Buck, Romeo, Dutch, Mickey is kind of like a nervous, you know, squirrely guy, but he focuses on the job. He still gets the job done. Really playing as an ODST is an interesting experience because you feel so much more vulnerable. It's not just that you're seeing them be vulnerable in cutscenes, but during gameplay, it's like you don't have that energy shield. When you take fire, you feel it.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, quickly scurry around. You got to reposition. You got to, you know, find an advantage. You got to find an edge to overcome these alien monsters because they're
bigger than you now for the first time.
Right. You're not seven and a half feet tall anymore. these guys are a little out of your league, and you got to like be clever, and you got to be that elite shock trooper type guy to get the job done. And that's a really unique way to experience the Halo universe. You're kind of seeing that setting and that world, not through the lens of a super soldier, but through just a guy who was trained really well, and you're doing the best job you can.
I think that's one of my arguments that I've always made with one of the problems of the new Halo series that's going on right now is that sometimes I feel like there's too many Spartans. Sometimes I think that like there's not enough of the grunts side of it. I don't get to see enough. Not true grunts, by the way. I'm talking about like Marines on the ground.
Right.
I feel like there's just not enough of that side. The human aspect of it has kind of been lost a little bit.
Yeah, so any opportunity we get to kind of look through that lens again and see that perspective, I really appreciate.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of hoping there'll be more ODST experiences, more ODST games, maybe books written from that perspective. I want everything ODST. Sometimes I just go back and watch that trailer for.
Oh
for
God, that trailer's so good.
I know, right? If you listeners haven't seen it yet, do yourselves a favor. It's such an awesome trailer because it really sells that vibe of you're just a kid. Like you're thrown into this grueling training, and you know you're fighting these horrendous beasts that could rip your head off, and it's like, what am I doing here? I'm so out of my element. But you turn into a badass, hardcore killing machine who didn't have to have some kind of titanium alloy bonded to their bones and, you know, a second heart put in or whatever. It's just, you're not a Spartan, but you're still pretty damn awesome. And so the Spartans represent, I think we've discussed this before, but the Spartans represent a fighting spirit of humanity, but the ODSTs kind of do the same thing in a different light.
They're the heart.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Spartans have that spirit, that fist, that force, that firepower, but regular Marines and Helljumpers, they have the heart. They have the grit. It's all about, you know, it's not just advanced bio-augmentation or ultra-high-tech armor that carries them forward. It's their training and determination and pure pure ferocity. I think that's cool.
I think it's so cool too. And I, to give credit to 343 Studios, I mean, the latest Halo Infinite trailer they released was, it had Chief in it, but it was not about him. It was about a Marine. The majority of the trailer was focused on him. And that's what I think is really cool about that, is that you're getting back to these guys that are really the humans around Chief are the important things. And the ODSTs, I think, are the most like perfect example of this. I mean, the banter between Dutch and Buck and all them is just, it's so good. And of course, the voice acting cast that they had all being from Firefly didn't hurt either. So
that's right. Yeah, we had Adam Baldwin and
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion. It was great. I'll watch, play, read, listen to anything with them. So
absolutely, that was perfect.
Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us to grow the show.
Please, and be sure we to need it.
Please do. I'm begging you. And also, be sure to connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at lore_party. We'd love to hear from you. Please, don't be a stranger.